This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
And this is Well on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council as we talk about health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. I'm Adam and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Daniel.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. So we've got a special holiday season edition, I suppose, focusing on health.
We do. Coming up to that time of year that everyone is either really dreading or really loves. I don't think there's anyone sort of in the middle that's ambivalent about it.
So where are you sitting?
I am totally over it.
And we're not even halfway through yet.
Tell me about it.
Christmas parties are out of the way.
Yeah, but I'm cynical at the best of times, so, you know.
This is true.
And how about you?
I think I'm looking forward to relaxing across the Christmas break. And that
the
seems...
break. I'll take the break. Yeah.
That's not far away.
I know. Counting down the hours. So what is on the show tonight?
Sure. So we'll be speaking to Anthony and Wendy, who are no strangers to the Joy Studios, and we'll be discussing the topic of same-sex relationship violence to make sure that we look after ourselves and each other. And actually, when I was writing this, I was just figuring out, that's Jerry Springer. I was wondering, why does this sound so familiar? Look after ourselves and each other. I'll play it for you later on.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll also be speaking to the outgoing and the new general manager from Switchboard to talk about what they will be doing and how they'll be supporting us across the festive break. It seems like we're doing everything in pairs tonight.
Yeah, I know. It works. Yep. Symbiotic. I think it works really well. So if people want to get involved in the conversation to ask one of the guests a question, how can they? Especially because we've been covering sort of a wide variety of different topics tonight that sort of pair up quite nicely. As you just said.
True.
Ba-bum-ching, thank you. Here all week.
So, look, the easiest way, I suppose, probably, and the best way is to email us here, which is an easy one, onair@joy.org.au. That'll come right through to us here in the studio. You can also, obviously, SMS 0427-JOY949, or you can call us as well at Joy.
And we do love to hear from the listeners. So if you really do have a question, a genuine question, feel free to shoot us and we'll actually try and get it answered for you.
Joy. You're on Well. So awesome. Tonight we've got Anthony Lekas and Wendy Brokenshire from the LGBTI Intimate Partner and Family Violence Team at VAC. Welcome to the show, guys.
G'day, well, gang.
Thank you.
So maybe we'll start off just by introducing yourselves. I know you're known to some of the listeners, but for those who haven't clocked you before, maybe just a little bit about yourselves and your roles at VAC.
Sure. So anyway, firstly, thank you for having us on the show tonight. Really appreciate being here. My name is Wendy. My role at VAC is, it's a very long-winded role, but it's basically Program Coordinator of LGBTI Intimate Partner and Family Violence Services. What else did you ask me? I've lost my track.
Yeah, a little bit about yourselves with the roles at VAC and what you're involved with now.
So how long have you been in the role? You said it's quite a long title, but...
It's impressive.
Yeah. In this particular role, since early August. And I think that... The program we're going to talk about in a moment, Revisioning, which I will go into in more depth, probably opened up the opportunity for VAC to work in this particular space since 2003, and we'll talk about that later. Since the Royal Commission concluded and handed down its report earlier this year about recommendations to changes for the family violence sector, our community has been profiled as a marginalised community that needs a lot of support and service sector need to develop their response to this social justice and social health issue. I could go on, but I realise my colleague sitting next to me.
I'm a person in the room. and I've been involved in the mainstream family violence sector since 2010, running Men's Behaviour Change programs, and also been involved with the Revisioning program, which is the Men's Behaviour Change program for that the VAC have for same-sex attracted men since 2014.
And so whilst, I guess, family violence or, I guess, relationship violence, because they're all sort of quite separate and quite unique things and sometimes intertwined, what kind of brought you to the counselling sector in general rather than specifically family violence?
Well, I guess...
Is it empathy for others?
I do have empathy for others. I guess lots of reasons. I did psychology in my undergrad at uni, and doing counselling is something I was always very interested in. I worked with young people in a therapeutic environment, and that really appealed to me, where I started to learn more about attachment theory and trauma-informed practices. And I guess family violence is something that sort of just came up along the way and was, a really intriguing, sector from an outsider looking in to sort of go into. And having been in it for a few years now, it's a pretty intense sector, but very important work.
Now, look, this is a really interesting space, especially at the moment as well. And I know there's a lot of work being done at VAC at the moment and behind the scenes as well. Can you maybe, you've already touched on one of those, which is revisioning, but maybe talk about VAC's response, I suppose, and what revisioning is?
Sure. So revisioning is a men's behaviour change program for same-sex attracted men. And essentially it's a program that it's a group-based program. It's designed to offer a behaviour change focus for men who use violence in their relationships. I guess the primary aim of a men's behaviour change program actually is to decrease risk and increase safety for the victims of that violence. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Anthony?
Yeah, and it's very different from anger management. I know a lot of people think that... especially because these programs are connected to the criminal justice system and the courts, so people get mandated to attend these programs as well. And they're very different from anger management. So anger management really focuses on sort of emotional regulation and sort of the sort of intrapsychic work of the individual to sort of notice these triggers and find ways to sort of calm himself and make decisions to remove himself from the environment or from the potential of using violence. Whereas men's behavior change programs really... position centrally the victim's experience of the violence and really do a lot more work around empathy and looking at impact, the impact that the violence used by the perpetrator has on the victim.
And so why is there a focus? I mean, I guess a lot of people would sort of say, well, why are we looking at the perpetrator? And why are we not providing services to the victim? But I assume that there are probably a wealth of services out there for the victim. And as Anthony sort of said, it's not anger management. It's actually getting the person who's actually inflicting this type of violence, whatever type of violence it may be, and actually getting them to sort of reframe the way that they think and actually interpret situations.
Look, I think there's an element of accuracy in everything that you've just said. If I could just start at the beginning, though, I think that the tone of this work is moving more to a holistic view of the problem, and you can't do that unless you include perpetrators in that dialogue.
Yep.
Also, with the men's behaviour change programs, particularly the current research, there's some differing opinions about the effectiveness of programs like men's behaviour change. There's a very strong appetite to explore what is going to be effective intervention or treatment for perpetrators at the moment, particularly nationally. And also men's behaviour change, I think, will over time, particularly in the next 12 months to 2 years, I think we'll see that be enriched and perhaps the program is extending with other adjunct services onto the group program that support the perpetrator over a period of time rather than just these short truncated programs. And you're right about victim services. There's many options for victims. However, there can never be enough.
Yeah.
And that's what the Royal Commission demonstrated.
And I know that it obviously, it might seem obvious in terms of the difference between relationship violence between heterosexual couples and same-sex couples, but could you maybe just sort of give us a broad overview of what the main differences between And I know it's very hard to sort of categorise and sort of strip that down, but are there some really core differences between the two?
Well, I guess the main difference, I guess, to start off with is that the difference between regular couple conflict and family or, and relationship violence is the issue around safety. So that one person in the relationship is feeling apprehensive, intimidated or unsafe about expressing themselves openly and freely in the relationship without the fear of consequences. Now, that's what makes it a relationship violence issue. I guess a couple conflict, it's normal for couples to fight. They might even use abusive behaviours when they argue, like they might swear at each other or slam doors, but neither of them would feel a sense of sort of feeling unsafe in the relationship with sort of engaging in the conflict in that relationship. So that distinction needs to be made clearly, and we have a fairly rigorous screening and assessment process to determine which clients would be suitable for our family and relationship violence program and which couples are ready for couples counselling. And the types of violence, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's really the same, whether it's a same-sex relationship or a heterosexual relationship. I mean, there are some things that are very specific, like forms of emotional abuse that might be specific to the same-sex male community, like threatening to out your partner or threatening to disclose his HIV status to work colleagues or family members if he's not out. So these sorts of things. But yeah, I guess any behaviour that causes another person to feel intimidated or afraid or unsafe.
Okay, so sorry,
Daniel.
We're talking relationship violence on Well, Well, Well. We're going to come back after this. We'll be back in a second.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And I think before we went to the break, we were just hearing from Anthony about, I guess, that there are sort of, I guess, some small specifics differences between, I guess, heterosexual and same-sex couples. But in terms of intimate partner violence, sorry, I've got to get my phrases right.
Yeah. Relationship violence.
Relationship violence. There we go. That's how we'll phrase it in going forward. That works for me. I guess everybody sort of thinks about physical violence. And that's obviously not just where it stops. And some of that is legal and some of it is not legal. Can you explain some of the different types of violence and I guess what's legal, what's not? And obviously none of it's good. Just saying.
Yes. It's a common it's common for people to imagine that the relationship violence is just physical abuse or sexual abuse or destroying property or property damage or even making a threat to someone's life. Now, all four of those things are considered criminal offences. They come under the Crimes Act and you can be charged with a criminal offence if any of those are committed. It's the other forms of relationship violence that are sort of more the invisible forms of violence that kind of don't get seen and aren't listed in the Crimes Act, but definitely come under the Family Violence Protection Act. So things like emotional abuse, you know, name calling, you know, things like ignoring someone and neglecting somebody or sort of anything that sort of, like I said earlier, it creates a sense of unsafety for the other person. And it could be even by cutting someone's funds off, you know, financial abuse where you may restrict someone from having access to the financial resources. And some of these other forms of violence are very difficult to prove sometimes and aren't so clear cut in the eyes of the law. And that's why generally the perpetrators can really start to sort of use those more kind of sophisticated types of abuses that can largely go unnoticed.
I remember when we did some training at VAC, it was for the volunteers, and this kind of come up, the idea of invisible, maybe that people can't see as well, and the idea of financial, and even I think there was floated the idea of sexual violence, but actually around withholding it as well and the power that might be at play there. And I think this was really interesting to hear that, because you often don't think about it, it's more the physical.
That's right, and I think that sometimes it's easier for people who may be experiencing intimate partner violence or relationship violence, it's easier to speak with them more a little about the concept of power and control within the relationship, because it sort of takes away the intensity of the conversation in a way. It softens it a little bit. It gives people space, I think, to step into the conversation with you, and then we start to then support them to identify what is it that you're actually experiencing, and we help them name it, and then we give them the information that identifies for them where that behaviour fits in terms of relationship violence or not relationship violence.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that there are certain factors that can sort of exacerbate somebody's behaviour in particular ways? Or we know that the holidays is always a very stressful time. They always say it's like holidays, weddings, moving. These are kind of, you know, very stressful events. And do you think something like that, or the holiday season, sort of increases or exacerbates somebody's propensity to engage in violence?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we know that the festive season or the holiday season is a high prevalence time for people to find themselves experiencing relationship violence perhaps more frequently or with more intensity. One of the key factors related to that increase in prevalence is the fact that people find themselves actually spending a lot more time with each other. Their normal routine is out of place, so they're not structuring their lives the way that they normally would.
Yeah, and I guess if the perpetrator is already using violence in the relationship, then having a holiday period together means that they're, like Wendy said, together a lot more and more likely to increase the use of violence. So that's why this the Christmas and New Year period is a fairly high-risk period for people subjected to violence.
There's a lot more to come on this holiday edition of Well, 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 and we'll maybe talk about some of the supports as well that people can reach out to.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Well, 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 brought to you each week by the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, just before the break, we were talking about relationship violence and also maybe leading into the idea of how do actually people know that they may be a perpetrator, that word's been used, or know that relationship violence may be an issue for them in their relationships with others. We're talking about same-sex attracted couples here.
Look, I think it's a really important question, and I'll answer it in a couple of ways. Firstly, we have a very wide gap in research data that actually informs us about what are the drivers of intimate partner violence with or relationship violence within our communities, LGBTI communities. And so often what we'll have is we'll have either one person or a couple presenting to our service saying they need couples counselling or they need relationship counselling because they have a level of conflict in their relationship and they're not able to resolve it. And from that point on, through the process of assessment, our team will determine, you know, what is it that we're actually looking at here. I don't know if you want to add to that, Anthony.
Yeah, and also I guess just to add to that, it's really difficult, I guess, particularly in our sector when we're really just an emerging service provider within the broader family violence sector, that the system set up with the courts and with this police and other referral pathways aren't so solidly established as they are in the mainstream sector. So I mean, I think we're even at community education level where we're just starting to speak to the community to say we know it, the prevalence rates are just as high. We know that there are people in relationships who are just at the same level of risk as women are in heterosexual relationships, and we're just trying to get their attention to know that there's services that are out there to support them. Yeah. And the police are starting to do a lot of work in that area.
And I remember something even as simple as seeing a flyer that kind of listed it up. It kind of asked yourself questions and, you know, do you do this in a relationship? Is this you? And it kind of made you paint a picture. And it kind of was really powerful because even I, when going through the list, kind of was like ticking some of them and wondering, gee, is this relevant for me? And I'm guessing that was, you know, to make people think about their actions more. That was a really interesting thing, I thought, to get people.
Absolutely. That flyer, was that the revisioning flyer?
Revisioning flyer,
ah,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So we spoke a little bit about the revisioning program earlier. That's a program that VAC do deliver to assist people who use violence in relationships, and also another part of that program is called partner contact support, because that's a really important aspect of the revisioning program, to ensure that we have a level of communication happening with existing or past partners who may still be in contact with that person, just to ensure that they're well supported while that participant's going through the group. So that's one sort of complete program in itself.
Yep.
I guess the other services that we offer, certainly for people who may be experiencing relationship violence, is our counselling service. So people can come in and obtain individual counselling from VAC and be supported to be linked into appropriate services, because counselling may not be the only aspect of their care that they need attended to. So that's one entry point for people.
And so I guess just as we sort of finish up, because the show's just flying by so quickly, if you see something or if you think that you have a friend who's either a perpetrator or actually experiencing violence in a relationship and you've just heard, well, financial violence, that's right, they give them X amount of money a week and that's all they've got to spend and rah, rah, rah. How do you approach the subject? Is there a right way or is there no right way? It's just basically get as much information as you possibly can and then ask simple questions.
As a friend, do you mean, is there a right way?
Yeah.
I think it's like any sensitive issue. I think you just, tread carefully, ask some very sensitive questions, hopefully some informed questions. There are websites that people can go to. What would you suggest?
I would say if you are concerned about a friend, just to maintain your own safety for starters. And if you are concerned for their immediate safety or for your own, I wouldn't hesitate to call 000 and just to know that you're able to do that. If you want to ask some more specific questions and the nuances around supporting your friend and you're unsure about their behaviour or even if you're noticing that happening in your relationship and you're wondering whether or not this is a safety issue and is your partner using abuse, you can speak to the gay and lesbian liaison officer or the family violence liaison officer at your local police station. You don't have to make a report. You don't have to apply for an intervention order. It can just be a conversation. And I would say that would be a fairly informed conversation where you can walk away with enough information to be able to decide for yourself what's right for you. And because a lot of people who come to our service, the people who even use violence and the people who are experiencing the violence, sometimes mostly I would say that they don't want the relationship to end, they just want the violence to stop. So we do have the programs to assist them in that process, but at the end of the day, it's their choice. If they choose to stay in that relationship, we'll support them to increase their safety to be in it and to minimise to get the perpetrator to cease his violence. But we can also support people if they need more intensive support than that.
So you've mentioned you've mentioned some supports already there, which are really good. Are there any others you'd suggest as well, and how people could get in contact and what they might be?
Certainly. So from a 24-hour perspective, if you find yourself thinking that you may be in a relationship and you're feeling unsafe and you may be that person receiving the violence, Safe Steps is now, it's a well-known organisation, it's now opened up its scope to LGBTI community. So the number for Safe Steps is 1-800-015-188. And if you happen to be the person who thinks that maybe you have a problem with your behaviour, or maybe you think that you are actually perpetrating violence in your relationship, for same-sex attracted men, the men's referral service 1-300-766-491. For anybody in the community that doesn't relate to either of those services, they're both 24/7. You can certainly ring Drummond Street Queer Space and talk to them, and their number is 9663-6733. And of course, you can ring us on 9865-6700. Any one of those services should point you in the right direction. Right.
And that's lots of options. We'll make sure all of those details, obviously, they'll be on our podcast, but otherwise, we'll also have them on our site on joy.org.au as well. Every time we kind of talk about this, I think we learn a little bit more, us included. Adam, I'm looking at you.
Oh, totally. And, I always learn something new.
Yeah. So
I can't believe I just said totes on radio.
You did. Thanks both for coming in. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Well, it seems like this is an annual gig, us getting the team from Switchboard on the show to catch up on what's been happening during the year and to talk about how we can look after ourselves and each other across the holiday period. So why break with tradition? And we've got two for the price of one tonight. We have Leanne Renfrey and Joe Ball, the outgoing and the new general manager at Switchboard. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hi, Daniel.
Thank you.
Now, Leanne, we've never met, but I've heard a lot about you and the good work done at Switchboard. Yeah, that's my lead-in. In fact, some of our volunteers at VAC wear two hats and also volunteer with Switchboard. And one of our esteemed colleagues, Heather Morgan, is, I know, an elder at Switchboard, which is a really nice term I hear around the place now. So maybe for our listeners' benefit, would you mind just telling us a little bit about Switchboard, but also about your involvement as well?
Sure. Well, thanks, Daniel. It's nice to be here again another year. Bites the dust. I've been with Switchboard for over 7 years now, and the organisation itself has been around for 25 years, offering a telephone counselling information referral service to the LGBTI communities across Victoria. And in fact, I think in a way, it's not just our communities. We offer support to other groups as well around LGBTIQ issues, so families, friends, health professionals, and so forth. About 3 or 4 years ago, we joined with our state partners and have become partners in QLife Australia. So that's the National Phone Counselling Network.
And so this is kind of exciting. So that means calls could potentially be going to different areas and an expansion of times as well, I think I heard.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. We used to run 6 to 10pm. Now the service across Australia runs 3pm to midnight, and that's 7 days a week. And it also means that if our lines are busy, those callers aren't missing out. They're actually, those calls get directed to another state. So it means we have a shared resource of database mm-hmm. of information. So if someone in a council in Queensland takes the call, they certainly know about services that are available in Victoria to help the callers.
Great. Jo, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Daniel.
Now, this is kind of an exciting period because it's kind of a handover period, is that right?
That's right. Well, the official handover finished last Friday.
That's correct.
And today, Jo has had their first day as GM of Switchboard.
Yes.
And still smiling.
So I'm in the hot desk as of today, but luckily Leanne's still here just doing the handover as we speak together on Joy. So
seems like we reached out at the right time then.
Absolutely.
Perfect. So, Jo, for the listeners maybe, would you mind just introducing yourself? Tell us what's been going on at Switchboard and what you're doing before this position as well.
Well, it certainly is a really exciting time to join Switchboard, as Leanne pointed out. And there's been, you know, a lot of expansion, and I'm coming on board for that. And last weekend we had a farewell to Leanne, which was a lovely handover and time to join Switchboard, and I got to see that and see that farewell, and also meet all the new members that are new to me, not new to Switchboard. And my background before this is completely different. I was a manager in the public service for 5 years, and I come from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, which usually when I say that, people start to snooze. but there is some statistical fans out there, and as we like to say, you can count on me.
I love statistics. Yeah.
You love statistics,
I
that's
do.
Great.
Yeah, this could be an interesting one.
Yeah, there is some fans. And before that, before the Bureau of Statistics, I was in the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, which is another sort of federal government department.
Yeah, that all ties together nicely, though. Does that mean you've done your time in Canberra? Is that where...
No, I haven't, actually. I've managed to avoid that, thankfully.
Nicely done. Now, maybe this leads in nicely if we're talking about statistics as well, and just to maybe get an impression of what are the type of calls that we get at Switchboard or you get, and if there's any trends around who are the people calling and what are they calling about. I know that's a very general one, but I'll throw it out there.
Yeah, sure. I might sort of do the historical bit if you like. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
I think over the years we've noticed that most of our callers identify as male.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done any research as to why. I have my own theories. Part of it, I think, is because we're an anonymous service, and given the issues that we cover, I think some men feel more comfortable discussing issues of sexuality and gender identity anonymously on the phone rather than face-to-face, and women tend perhaps to have other support networks and friendship groups. But, you know, it'd be really interesting to see why that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And before we were part of the QLife network, the age group was around 35 to 50, age group that called us. But with the QLife funding, we've actually introduced web chat.
Okay, so and open up the younger demographic.
Absolutely. So we're talking, you know, 20 and under.
Mm-hmm.
That has been an absolute increase over, I think it's something like 800% over the last 3 years, the increase in web chat. I always sort of try and make the old joke that, you know, young people have got phones, but they don't use them to make phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
They use them for everything else. So the web chat has actually been a great way of reaching a population that we haven't been in touch with before.
How long ago did that start?
With the QLife funding. So about 2014, 13, 14 was when it was being introduced. And so we had to train our counsellors, because it's a slightly different skill to sit there, and they take longer because of just the aspect of typing and that sort of thing. And what's interesting as well is that those web chats are mainly from, well, the increase in rural people contacting us, and I guess there's a number of reasons. Cost of mobile phone, although it's a free call, to ring us, and potentially privacy as well. Might be easier to be in another room in the house online than talking out loud for people to hear. Yeah,
you're on Joy. This is Well, Well, Well.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well. And we have Joe and Leanne from Switchboard in the studio. And we were just talking about the amazing work being done at Switchboard. And on this show, we're talking about staying healthy across the festive season. So do you mind maybe going in a little bit further and telling us about the types of calls that you get and maybe throughout the year and how they might differ as well from what happens now across the Christmas season?
Sure. What's interesting, Daniel, too, just before we get into that, is that our calls have increased 50% this year on the same period last year. So there's something going on.
Something's happening. And that's phone calls or chats or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. So... Okay. Yeah, we took just over 3,600 sort of contacts through the year. But the reasons why people call hasn't really changed that much over time. I think because we're a peer-based service, people know that they can talk to us because we understand. We might not have had exactly the same lived experience, but we're in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. So it's not like going to a mainstream service where you have to explain what it's like to be LGBTI or say what's going on for me has got nothing to do with my sexuality or gender identity. It's, you know, something else that's going on and not the assumption it's because you're gay, you're depressed, you know.
And I get these connections. One of the work that I do is outside in Pronto, which is our rapid testing service, peer-based, and lots of the services VAC are offering a peer-based, and there's a reason why we're doing that.
Absolutely.
Inherently, people just know each other better, I think, from the communities.
So the reasons people call, sort of top five relationship issues, just to generally have a chat. Because they're feeling isolated and just want some connection, some support and connection. Family relationships, coming out, obviously, gender identity, those sorts of questioning calls. Yep. And more and more we're getting mental health issues, and I think that's because of the Q-Life connection and the promotion we're doing is more in the mental health space, and that's where our sort of funding comes from.
Yep.
And it could be that by being a national network now, that the sort of promotion and prominence of the service is a lot more available to people.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely got a good graphic presence as well. And I'm talking about maybe the festivals and even just online, which is really great. And lots of articles being put out as well. And I think that's people instantly know when they see the colours and the dots and everything else.
Great. Mm. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Now, has there been any increase if we talk about kind of other things around maybe the plebiscite? I don't know, does politics ever come up or do you think these become call drivers? Or I know relationship violence, we've talked about earlier in the evening. Has that been something that's come up at all or do you think it's still...
I think that when you're looking at a marginalised community who are impacted by discrimination and stigma, that when there are conversations out in the broader community and some of those are negative, it's got to have an impact.
Yeah.
So we haven't specifically linked up when the plebiscite's been in the news, a spike in phone calls, but we've certainly noticed there's been a change in it. And the fact that we've had 50% more calls, I think indicates the discussions around plebiscite, marriage equality, safe school stuff, all those sorts of things that have been going on. Even the Orlando shootings, that impacts on us. And we've had people just want to talk about, they might not directly say it's about that, but if they're already a bit vulnerable or experiencing depression, anxiety, this sort of stuff doesn't always help, you know?
Absolutely. And I know with services like Switchboard, one of the things, I was working in a counselling area in VAC and I recognised quite early on that the resources, your resource page on the website is phenomenal. We used to actually refer a lot of clients and volunteers as well to that information. But I know that VAC benefit greatly as well because of the services we've got, whether it be people living with HIV calling up and getting referred to the PLC, the Positive Living Centre. But what other organisations do you often refer to or what areas might you make referrals to?
It obviously depends on what the caller wants. A lot of people ring us as a first point of call. So we're not a counselling service in the sense that we have casework and we have ongoing discussions with people. They're welcome to ring us as much as they like, but we don't take them through a sort of a therapy, if you like. So one of the things that we do is ensure that any referrals to psychologists, psychotherapists, counsellors, that we have quite high quality referrals on our database, that we know those people are going to be either queer themselves or queer friendly, because there's nothing worse than, you know, we've heard a few stories, and I'm no doubt you have as well, of people who have gone to health, you know, mental health professionals and not had a good time of it. So that sort of area of counselling and mental health is one of the key referral areas.
Yeah.
General health services as well.
Yeah.
And a lot in the sort of social support group area as well. You know, people ringing, they might be new to town and they want to, you know, how do I meet someone, and they don't want to hang out in a bar.
And I think I remember hearing from volunteers being there quite a while, is that in the kind of early days of the service, it was actually quite often used as a kind of, you know, ringing up to find out what was going on in the local area, more of a social kind of, what are the bars, where should
that's
I go,
right.
what do you suggest?
That's right. Yep. I think things have changed a little bit, obviously, since the internet. 25 years ago, we didn't have the internet.
I think
so. You know, people just ring up and say, you know, tell me about the tennis club, tell me about, you know, the, particularly for women, bars, you know, open and shut weekly. but now with the internet, people can get that sort of information. So we've found that our call lengths are longer because people are actually talking about more interpersonal and personal things. But what's interesting does happen sometimes is someone might ring with a question that, you know, you could Google the answer.
Yep.
But it takes a lot of courage sometimes for people to make a call. So they sort of start off a bit, you know, carefully. And
test
just,
the waters, maybe.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. And just have that chat. And then perhaps, you know, if someone says, oh, I want to join a support group or a social group, it might be that they actually have just finished a long-term relationship. They don't know how to meet someone and they're feeling a little bit lonely. And we can sort of help, not just with the info, but support them in that sort of transition.
Okay, perfect. I feel like we're just, you know, starting off talking about some of this, but we'll come back after the break and maybe talk a little bit more about the work that Switchboard does. But you're on Joy 94.9.
For over 25 years, the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives have been collecting and preserving Australia's queer history. A not-for-profit organisation, the Archives rely on your support through membership, financial and queer memorabilia donations. To find out more, email algarchives@hotmail.com or web search the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You're on Well, Well, Well. Now, we've already talked about, in an ever-changing world, the idea that people are turning to chat, and that's really great to see that more people are getting in touch that way. But what else is Switchboard doing, or kind of what are the other services that you guys offer maybe now and maybe in the future as well?
An important service we have is the Out and About Community Visitors Scheme. And it's a service where we have volunteers who go and visit older people who identify as LGBTQI in aged care. And when I say older, I should actually mention that there is young people living in aged care as well. So it's not strictly for older people, though that's our predominant group. And the volunteers are there just to provide some companionship and to make connection with people who would otherwise be isolated.
It's hard to believe that we didn't have anything happening in this space, really, and there might have been smaller programs that I'm not aware of, but just the idea that this is something I'm guessing lots of people would want to get involved in and there's a real need for as well. And this is volunteer-run, you were saying, as well?
That's
volunteer-driven.
Right. Yep. And we do have a considerable amount of interest in volunteers signing up for it, but we're always looking for more.
Yep.
So you can find that out on our website and how you can get involved in the Out and About program, because maybe that's something that you might be, obviously we have the phone counselling volunteers that we're looking for, but maybe you'd like to, that suits you more to be in that program to go and visit people.
And I'm guessing at this time of the year as well, we kind of talked about it being the holiday season and different drivers for calls, but in this kind of program, I guess that's really important to the work being done too.
Yeah. That's right. We find that because we visit people who are either at home or living in aged care facility. And in many ways, those at home are even more isolated. And a lot of, particularly LGBTI older people, often don't have a connection with their families anymore. So if they're getting in-home services, they tend to stop sort of this week. And I remember last year, we actually were in touch with the people that we visited, and some of them weren't going to see anybody from when the last sort of worker from the home care package provider came, say, Wednesday before Christmas until after the new year. And that's a long time when it's hot.
Absolutely.
Or cold, depending on Melbourne, but hot, that if you can't walk too far, you can't get out up to the local shops, the local cafe. So we're always here for everybody over the holiday season, but particularly aware of the older people.
Yeah, I've got a bit of an admission here because I was speaking to Darren from Out in the Open Festival, and it's such a catchy title, Out and About, that I kept on calling it Out and About when we were talking about it.
Out in the open.
I thought, where did this come from? Where did this come from? And then I connected.
So rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, Daniel?
It stuck with me. Yeah, exactly right. Now, speaking of festive season, what are you guys doing around midsummer, and what's your normal involvement and what's coming up?
Well, going forward into midsummer, we're going to be at the carnival, as we always are, and we're going to be marching, as we always are. So please, if you're around at carnival, come and say hello to us at the stall. There's going to be something that a lot of listeners might be interested in coming to that we are doing this midsummer as well, is we're you can find it in the Midsummer Guide. And on the 1st of February, we're doing a talk called Courageous Conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's done by our
counselling supervisor.
And so that's one to maybe, like, within all the festive things that are going on around midsummer, it's a bit more of a time to reflect. And some people who, you know, last year we had one and we're doing it again this year, and I think people might want to put that in their diary and come. So that's on the 1st of February, and you can look up the details of when that is in the Midsummer Guide.
Midsummer Guide's out now, yep. And there was something else happening as well, I believe, a fundraiser, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, there's a couple of fundraisers. We are always grateful for organisations or individuals that fundraise on our behalf. It's fantastic because we don't get that much funding. I think people might be surprised about the little amount of funding that we get. So a couple of things, Queer Art Prize, some of the proceeds of the sales of the paintings, that's a National Art Prize, are coming to Switchboard, and that's kicking off on the 13th of January at Chapel Off Chaffle and runs for a couple of weeks there. I think the opening night, Dolly Diamond's performing, so there you go. So that's a good thing, and a bit different as well. And because it's over a couple of weeks, people, you know, they've got other events on, can pop in,
get along and see
it that. And also, some of the older members of our community out there might remember the fabulous drag queen Kerry Lagore, who was a legend. Sadly, Kerry passed away not that long ago, but there's going to be a tribute to her called Simply the Best, a tribute to Kerry Lagore at the GH, and that's in the Midsummer Guide, 22nd of Jan, off the top of my head.
I think a lot
head.
Of people are going to get along to
that. Yeah, and that's a cast of thousands. Every drag queen in Melbourne's going to be dusting off her sequins and heels and getting to that, so big night.
Big talk at VAC at the moment as well. Well, thanks guys for coming in, Leanne and Joe. Leanne, best of luck with your next steps.
Thank you.
And
that's
Joe,
the banana lounge.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. The next step.
And Joe, it's been great to have you on, and we look forward to hearing and seeing more of you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Across midsummer and hopefully back here on Joy.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Finally, how can people get in touch if they want to, just as far as the details to reach out for Switchboard or any of the other services as well?
Sure. Well, as mentioned, we're a free anonymous phone counselling service. So the number is 1800 184 527. Mm-hmm. People interested in web chat, it's through QLife. So it's qlife.org.au. And our website is switchboard.org.au. And we're there. It can be a tricky time. The holiday season, hard on relationships, hard when dealing with family, good old alcohol and other drugs often play a part. So if people are just not feeling that they're coping too well or just want to let off steam or have a chat, we're going to be there.
Perfect. Excellent. Thanks for coming in, guys. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9.
Joy. Well, 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 Adam, that's the end of the show for another year. And it's our last show before Christmas, but of course we've got some Christmas specials coming up, I believe, in the pipeline. We've looking back at the year, I think.
Yeah, so I guess this year on Well, 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 we've probably had one of the biggest changes that we've seen in terms of people coming in to the group and sort of becoming presenters and bringing their own sort of flavour to the show.
You mean like me?
Well, yes, that'd be a prime example.
Well,
maybe not prime, but an example nonetheless. So I think what we're going to do is we're actually going to have four of the co-hosts actually having a look back over 2016 to some of the most either important topics that came across somebody's news desk or maybe some of the most important shows or most memorable shows that we've done. And then the following week, which I think is the first week of January, I think it might be the second or the first or something like something along those lines, it'll be looking forward to 2017 and probably things that we might be covering or topics that will come up within our community. And I think that's probably the easiest way to explain it.
It's nice. Now, there's one thing I wanted to give a little shout out to, because I actually am going to be an orphan at Christmas this year, having Christmas by myself. The family are all in Brisbane. The partner's overseas. So I'm entertaining the idea of going to the Christmas Day Orphans Lunch on Sunday, the 25th of December, of course. It's a gold coin donation. And you can look up Positive Attitude Inc. And this is for all LGBTI people, their community, friends and allies. So go along. It's at T. Peterson Oval, St. George's Road in North Fitzroy. Maybe I'll see you there.
Well, we'd just like to say a big thank you to Anthony, Wendy, Joe and Leanne for being on the show tonight. And basically a big thank you to everyone who supported us throughout the year. It's been a great pleasure and we really love having the show and we love to hear from our listeners. So that's basically good. Thank you very much from us and happy Festivus season.
And Adam, thank you for your support as well.
Oh, sharks, you know you needed it.
This is well, well, well.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.